I have two screens now.
Is it? Does it? Oh, yes. Oh man, words.
Oh, it's so good. It's so
I'm
good.
I'm glad you understood my...
Yeah. 10 years together, we'll do that.
Perfect.
But Kaz bought me a tablet for drawing, and it works as a second screen. So I now have two screens. I'm very excited. Yay. I don't know that I've ever had two screens in my life.
It is large enough to be a screen because I don't have great spatial awareness. And this is how we ended up with a party pizza for three people.
One time Kaz was like, How big is 42 inches? That's like,
it wasn't that's like a reasonable pizza.
And we were like, ah. And then Kaz ordered a pizza and they brought a pizza the size of the table and there was only three of us.
Each slice was like the length of your arm.
Previously on Bad Heroes.
You find yourselves face to face with an enormous werewolf. Pax manages to dive out of the way and Tanru, you get hit by this slashing attack.
Hey, dog breath, why don't you pick on someone your own size?
Iris turns towards the tree as Iris turns towards Riva. And that's a nat one. So I guess she slams into this tree and she starts sort of clawing it apart. And I think it falls on her. Step back. A deep bite or scratch can turn you.
Conrear is just going to be like, and then look at his arm and chest again.
Pax lets out a rallying cry and four other voices join theirs in an eerie pitch shift, morphing from a shout into a howl. Pincer movement. Harlow, Solas, to her west. Rora, Orland, to her east. Trap her.
Gideon marches herself right over and casts Ice Slick. Intense cold just seems to like blast out from underneath her and spread out into a 5-foot radius.
It's just werewolves on ice.
Iria sees this sight and she says, "Everybody, stop." And she's looking at Iris with compassion and she's performing Fascinate.
For a moment, she just stops and stares. And by the light of the campfire, you see Pax crawling towards Iris on the ice, and they put their massive paws over hers.
Come on, you can do this. The sun and the moon still move in the sky, and I am not alone.
And as Iris starts repeating after Pax, Iris starts to shrink, and so does Pax, until suddenly you see Iris once again as she was, an elven woman.
Get away from me. Get away from me, now.
Tomrir takes off his cloak. With this, you can rediscover your roots if you stay here with us. You can heal yourself, and we will stand watch.
She reaches a delicate hand out towards the cloak, and then she sees that you're bleeding.
I hurt you. I'm sorry.
And as she starts to tremble, she turns and she splits off into the woods as fast as she can. So, you all stand in this clearing, beside your tent and your fire, facing a circle of half-melted, shattered ice and five werewolves. And Pax, in their human form, lifts themselves up off the ground and dusts themselves off.
Everybody all right?
Gideon is standing and kind of just staring at that point where the mystery thing came from before Iris lost her composure.
Staring at the point in the distance where you saw movement before Iris lost her composure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tanrir will, he places the cloak back around his shoulders. And then he checks his wound. And, you know, it's not bleeding anymore because it was healed. But he'll turn to Pax and gesture to it and say, "Is this something I have to worry about?"
I think around you, the four other werewolves are shifting back into their humanoid forms and walking around and picking up their weapons that they abandoned when they shifted. And Pax is in the middle of picking up Iris's broken bow and looking very worried. And they look over at you and see, you know, it's healed, but I imagine you still have sort of the raised indent where there was like four long scratches across your shoulder and chest, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And Pax frowns and says, "Solas, come take a look at this." And that half-elf, who was that massive white wolf moments before, with the bandolier of potions and powders, steps forward and examines you. And you're wearing, like, does your armor cover your chest?
Yeah, like mostly the front part of it.
Okay. If you're okay with it, he unfastens a little bit of it and like moves it out of the way so he can get a really good look at the wound.
Tanra just holds his arm up so that way he's got access.
Okay. Yeah, he takes a minute to check it out. You know, he looks at it really carefully. Do you still have damage on that or was it all healed?
There's one hit point that I'm missing.
Okay. He reaches into his bandolier and pulls out like a little container that looks like it's full of a salve. And he quirks a smile at you and says, do you mind if I...
Tonry just nods.
He reaches in and rubs that salve over the wound and you gain that remaining hit point back. And Solas looks back at Pax and says, yeah, shouldn't be enough to turn him. It's shallow.
Tonry breathes a sigh of relief and then starts setting his armor and all that stuff back and then looks to everybody else just to give a visual assessment and he'll remain quiet for the moment.
Gideon's still looking off into that distant area and says to Pax, who else shares these woods with you?
Pax looks at you and tilts their head and says, the rest of the pack lives here. There's about 25 of us, all told. Why?
I don't mean this to be offensive, but do any of them mean you harm?
No. Why?
Shortly before Iris changed, there was movement over there, and she gestures towards wherever she saw it, vaguely gestures in general direction.
It's just some bushes to the northwest.
Okay. Yeah, so she points towards that direction.
Rara, Harlow, go check it out. And the gnome and the like massive person who is now putting a broadsword back on their back, they walk over to check out the area. And it seems like they're like sniffing the air really deeply.
While that's happening, Tom Rare will.
Sorry, I had a silly image in my head of Gideon doing something else.
Do it.
You want? I was just going to have Gideon turn to Iria and say, don't you want to go sniff?
What? You think I want to go sniff around some bushes?
I don't know. Maybe you could find something.
I mean, I guess I could go with them and check it out.
Don't you do the sniffing thing also?
When I go to the bathroom, yes. Or like I'm meeting someone new, I do a little bit of sniffing, but like I'm not like a... Yeah, I'll go with them and I'll check it out.
Okay, so Iria, you head over. Give me a perception check.
Oh, God. Is this... I'm going to make sure this is the right... God damn it.
That good, huh?
No, that bad. It's a one.
You get lost. you go over there. And it's just like, it's just trees everywhere and red leaves under your feet. And it's real dark.
Just flinging all over the place.
And you get like lost. But the sight of the campfire behind you is able to bring you back. But no, you don't find anything at all.
So Iria comes running back and is kind of breathless, like, I told you guys, I'm not a sniffer. I don't even know where I'm supposed to go.
Tonry furrows a brow, and then he'll send Roth a wing just to see, just in case.
Okay.
While this is all happening, Riva checks her belt and sees that the dagger that she had flung at Iris has actually reappeared in its sheath, and it is there. And
that's fucking awesome.
She has a blink back belt, so any weapon that is thrown from it reappears on it at the end of that combat round.
Oh, end of combat. I was like, is it instantaneous? So you just have like an endless throwing daggers?
Basically a dagger machine gun.
And then she kind of picks her way over the field of broken and cracked ice and jogs over to Tonrir and is just like, oh my God, that was gnarly. Are you okay?
Tonrir has a very fixed expression on his face. I'm fine.
She kind of looks around and she looks off in the direction that Iris had run off in, and then back to the group and says, that was bad, right? That went poorly.
There's a sudden realization that Tomre has. It's where he looks to the remaining werewolves around the fire and says, "Oh, you haven't met our other companion yet, have you?"
No. No, we haven't. I was actually thinking that something might have startled Iris, something like an ambush, like someone hiding in a tree.
Who, me? I was just hanging out up there.
Just vibing.
Mm-hmm.
Did they say that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tonner shakes his head and says, "No, Reva was in that tree there." And he points to the tree that was just a little bit southwest of the fire, just to discern that it wasn't the same direction.
Oh, did you send Rolthoene up?
Yeah, it did. Just in that direction, doing a seek.
Let's get a perception check on that.
Okay. 21.
Nope. Nope. I don't think he sees anything.
Okay. Well, don't feel bad about your nat one, though.
And I think Pax comes over and claps you on the shoulder and says, "Thank God you're okay. Nobody wants you to turn, especially Iris. She'd never forgive herself."
Tonrir nods at that and says, "Well, it wasn't my intent to turn into a werewolf my first night in the woods, so I too am thankful, but do you think Iris is going to be okay?"
"She'll come back to herself. I think she just needs some time to cool off. Honestly, I think she just got startled." And it almost sounds like they're trying to convince themselves of that.
Can that, Reva chimes in and she's like, "Does that just happen? Like, something spooks you and bam, you're a wolf?"
"I mean, kind of. It's, how do I put this? It's constant. This desire to turn. It's extremely hard to resist. It takes a lot of self-control. And that's especially true in stressful situations. But the thing is, it's not really like her. She's hardly the one I would worry about. But stranger things have happened. Anyway, I don't think we did full introductions." And the four other people stand behind them, and they say, "My esteemed company is Harlow, Solas, Rora, and Orland. I'm afraid you already met Iris, but not in the way she would have liked. We're the guardians. We protect the pack, and we protect Sosalia." Tonrir, I caught that one. The rest of you got names?
"Well, I'm Reva."
"Charmed, I'm sure."
"Yeah, I'm Iria."
Tonrir looks at Gideon to see if...
That one that's reading, that's Gideon.
Yeah.
"How did you know?" Actually, she was journaling. She was writing about what she observed with Iria and the sniffing.
Pax gives you a look and says, "Right, the ex-vampire, Gideon. Got it. Well, while Iris comes back to herself, why don't we all have something to eat and talk about this cure business like adults, calmly and with a full stomach?"
"That sounds good to me."
Tonrir, this is still middle of the night. Like, we were about to fall asleep before they happened upon us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There, we had a day of trekking either. So I guess out of character question to the table, are any of the characters exhausted, especially having just done a fight?
I don't think Gideon needs to sleep. She might feel tired just from having hiked through the entire, that horrible path we were apparently on, but probably not as tired as Reva feels.
Reva is pretty tired from the hike, but she kind of just exists on adrenaline on a normal day. So she's good to keep going.
Okay.
I think if you guys look around for a sec, Pax says like, "Oh, I'm sorry, you probably need to rest. Well, I hope you understand that I can't exactly leave you unattended in my forest. So we have a couple options. Either you can sleep here and we can watch you, or you can come back to camp.
Okay.
I mean, I don't mean in like a... Yeah, that came out a little. I will just make sure you don't, like, kill everybody.
In our sleep.
You were in a... y'all were like, hello, we're here to talk about a cure. And then you were like, surprise, there's another one of us in a tree. And something bad happened to Iris, and I...
Hey, look, Pax, I'm into it. Whatever you meant by that, I'm into it.
Roll charm. Roll charisma.
Let me tell you, Pax, I'm picking up what you're laying down.
21.
Pax blushes.
Did anything come from Pax sending off the other two wolves?
They didn't find anything, okay. No.
They also rolled ones.
So you're all standing around, and Pax has asked you if you'd like to come back to camp where they can keep an eye on you, or if you would like to be kept an eye on here.
What's at this camp?
It's our home. It's called camp because it used to be a camp, but it's kind of more like a village now. It's where we live. And I think Solas, who was that white wolf, who is the person that was checking on Tonrir and has all of the potions and stuff, says, you want to take them to camp? Are you sure? And Pax says, they already know we're here, right? I mean, the truth is we're going to have to reach an agreement or the violence is going to start again. And I don't think any of us want that.
And if we're in your camp, well, you could kill all of us.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we could kill all of you now, right? But we're not.
That's true enough. Well, if camp is not too far away, I would elect for that, because perhaps being among others and finding some rest and respite in a little bit more of a familiar place. Yes, that would be nice.
Will we be welcome there?
Welcome is maybe not the right word, but if you're with me, you don't have anything to worry about.
Mm. Sounds cozy.
Wait.
No, that was like a joke, because like we're not welcome, so it's not cozy.
Oh, I see.
I wasn't trying to flirt. Wasn't trying to flirt with you.
Sure, yeah. I was
making
a
joke.
I didn't mean, cats and dogs and all that. Anyway.
It's raining us.
It's raining us, and we're all in an awkward situation.
I would like to go to sleep now.
Here?
No, just somewhere.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's not super close. It's probably like another hour's walk. Do you guys have that in you?
After he finishes pinching the bridge of his nose after listening to that exchange, Tomer simply nods and says, at least for me, that should be fine.
Gideon looks to Riva because it's another bit of hiking.
Riva groans. But she's also really curious about seeing this camp. So she's just like, ugh, okay, fine.
I mean, I guess I could carry you. You're pretty small, right? I mean, do you want a piggyback?
No.
A wolfie back?
A wolfie back? You want a wolfie back?
No, I'm good.
Pax kind of squats down as if to present their back.
I can walk. It's fine.
So do you guys take apart camp and everything?
Yeah, Gideon dismantles the tent.
Does she?
I wouldn't say expertly, but she does it.
I think Iria like tries to help Gideon as much as Gideon allows her.
I think if you let Iria help you, you got this now. You now know how tents work. You could put it together underwater and upside down.
Underwater too? Wow. I don't remember learning that, but great.
So when we go for the snorkeling adventure that we're sure to have, you'll be prepared.
There's a water level.
Spoilies. Okay, so you guys pack up camp and get the tent all in its bag and get ready to head out, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay. Pax leads you back to that tree that you actually found earlier, the tree that's at the end of the trail from Sosalia. and the tree that you actually climbed in, Tanru, because that's where the footsteps ended. And Pax taps their chin and says, pretty sure you found this tree already. Your scent is on it, Tanru. It's nothing fancy, but it loses most trackers pretty handily. So let's climb, shall we? And all the werewolves just start climbing that tree, just climbing the hell out of that tree. Harlow, that really buff werewolf with the broadsword, they hoist Orland up onto their back, Orland, who is in the wheelchair, and starts climbing up.
Yuria follows pretty close behind. She's pretty adept at climbing.
Let's get some climb checks up in here, my friends.
I'm probably going to regret that I said that. Yuria got 16.
Reva also got a 16.
Gideon has lost her character sheet.
Oh, no.
Tanra got an 11. I'm scraping by. It's fine.
Gideon looks at the tree and says, yeah, I'm not doing that.
But, I mean, you have to go. It's the shortcut. If you don't take this, you...
Pax, listen.
Yeah, listening.
I have no upper body strength.
Meanwhile, in the background, Reva, she's been like limbering up, like swinging her arms, getting pumped up for it. And she just like, she's running at the tree to run up the tree trunk and try to grab the lower branches.
It works. It totally works. You land that. You parkour your way right into that tree. And I think Rora the gnome says like, hey, nice.
Reva holds up a hand for a high five.
Oh. Rora like with a branch under her legs, like monkey swings, like hangs down to high five the shit out of you, and then like does like a flip back up and then just keeps climbing.
What a little acrobat.
And like looks to the rest of your party to help solve your problem.
Wolfie back time.
I can give a climbing beanstalk to help you get up there, but then it'll be on you to like traverse the trail once you're there.
I just have this beautiful vision of Gideon sitting cross-legged with her book out on top of a beanstalk as it just levitates her up.
That's exactly what would happen, yes.
I can help you get up there, but you're going to have to walk the rest of it.
Rora like pokes down again, like just her head, like totally upside down and goes, oh, it's not walking. And then disappears.
Wait, what?
I need to roll real quick.
It doesn't seem like the beanstalk would help if I can't walk when I get up there.
Oh boy. So Tanmir rolled a 20 and it was going to be on his sass modifier.
Roll for sass.
I did, and it's a 20. Tanmir will look at Gideon and then say, for everything you've overcome, you're going to get stopped by a tree.
I don't know how many times I can explain this to you guys. I literally have noodles for arms.
Tanru starts sprouting a beanstalk underneath her, as she, like right as mid-sentence, just starts doing it and just like starts propelling her up toward the path on the tree.
What kind of, like, what is this beanstalk? Like, is it something she has to hang on to, or?
She'll want to hang on to it as she's getting propelled up, I would imagine, yes.
So yeah, she just kind of wraps her arm around it and goes, thank you, as it carries her upwards.
Tanru's got his hand on the ground near the root of it. And after she says, thank you, he looks down at the ground and just goes.
You grow this beanstalk, and Gideon, as you go higher and higher and higher, like really, really high between the branches of this like very old, very big tree, you see the werewolves clustered at the top. They're all standing on different branches, and you see, almost imperceptible through the treetops, a zip line.
Oh, it's so bittersweet. It's so nice.
Do you head up, Tanner?
Yeah, after the beanstalk is finished delivering the Gideon.
He
will begin the climb.
Okay. Tanner, you make it up to sign. You're not particularly quick about it, not like Iria or Reva, but you make it up. And you guys are up real, real high. Hey, how do your characters feel about heights?
Don't care.
Doesn't care.
I mean, Iria, her... pride lived in the trees, so mm-hmm. not too abnormal for her.
Okay. You're in your element.
Yeah.
How high up are we?
Tallest maple tree.
Going for tallest. God. This is the best.
It's like 50 feet tall.
Oh, boy. Riva was like fine at first, but she had just been following Rora up the branches. And like somewhere between like 20 and 30 feet up, she's just like, hey, so how much further are we going?
You'll see. Come on.
Riva swears under her breath and keeps climbing.
So you guys all hit the top and there's like a series of strong branches. And now that you're up there, you can see that there's footprints, like mud prints on a lot of them. Like people stand up here commonly. And that redheaded gnome, Rora, looks right at you, Riva, and flashes a toothy grin and then straight up like chucks herself onto the zip line. And you watch her small silhouette disappear, like glide through the trees, over the river to your west, and into the distance at a super steep angle. And she goes real, real far, real fast.
Okay, then. All right. Riva says out loud.
The other three werewolves, you know, jump on in order and then all disappear. And then it's just Pax.
I think Iria goes for it. She's used to like going between huts above ground in the trees on like really rickety little pathways, like wooden pathways that are suspended above the ground. So this isn't entirely out of the norm for her. So she grabs on and goes.
Is there like something to grab onto, like a handle or something?
There's like a sort of a pile of like little wooden handles that are like very simple. They just sit over the top of the wire. But there's like a little pile of them and you can just each take one and take it down. And then presumably someone at some point brings them back.
Tonrir does exactly that once he gets up there. His cape, well, not cape, cloak billowing in the wind and Rothween flying close behind him. And as if he's up there for the first time when his space and then it eventually ends.
How picturesque.
You look positively majestic. You look so majestic and it's gorgeous. Like the moon is almost full. You're cutting through all of these like red and orange leaves. It's like very, very magical. You're going very, very fast. Your owl is actually kind of struggling to keep up. And then you realize you're going like very, 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 very fast. And then you should make a dexterity saving throw.
Oh my God.
Great. 22.
As you see yourself coming down to a stop, as you see the zip line start becoming level with the ground, I think you just elegantly drop off and land on your feet and take a couple steps to slow down. And then you look over and you see four werewolves and you just see.
Tonrir just gives a very slight nod of acknowledgement.
And I would say that Gideon was shortly behind Tonrir with her shoulder cape kind of billowing behind her. But she doesn't look peaceful or happy. She looks annoyed.
Dexterity saving throw, please.
22.
You also manage to just sort of run off of it and land gracefully on your feet. And then you stand beside Tonrir. And you hear once again, woohoo!
She still just looks annoyed.
And then you just hear Rora go, woo-woo! Iria, Riva, you stand beside Pax, who goes, ah?
I think I had gone before Tonrir.
Oh, sorry. Iria, give me a dexterity saving throw.
That's a 9. How is it always with the falling? She's so bad.
Maybe you're just having a really good time and you don't really care about landing on your feet. Because you don't land on your feet. You land on your butt in a pile of leaves.
Nice.
Riva, it's just you and Pax.
Uh-huh. So Riva's kind of like bouncing on the balls of her feet a little and she's like, fuck, 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 fuck. Okay. Okay. And she darts forward, grabs one of those branches and just goes for it. Like she kind of makes like a running leap and she is screaming the whole way down.
So you guys just hear, ah! As it like comes closer to you.
Exactly.
All right. Dexterity saving throw. Okay.
That's a natural 20.
Nice.
Oh shit.
I can't believe it.
What a good use of a natural 20.
I'm
just kidding.
How do you land with your natural 20 and you're screaming?
I don't know.
I was going to say, you just screaming the whole way and then nail the fucking landing and just go, ah, I'm awesome.
Yeah, she's like coming in and you just hear from a distance, and then she just lands and then she's like, I'm fine.
And then once again, woo! And then Pax comes down to no fanfare.
Get wrecked.
Oh God, Pax rolled a 3. Oh boy. Pax comes down and then falls next to Uria in the leaves and is just like, well, can't win them all. And gets up and brushes themselves off and then gestures to a very faint path.
Quick question. How long was that zipline?
Very.
With like 3/4 of a mile, greater than a mile, 5 miles long.
Whoa, 5 miles.
You're on a different continent now.
Perfect.
That's like, I don't know, like a mile. It's a long zip line.
That's a long zip line.
That's a lot of screaming.
Multiple times, just a
Actually, you know, it's like, it was like half a mile, but what saved you so much time is that you like cut going around the river and you got to like skip all of these obstacles. Like you guys went over a river and over a bunch of rocks and over a bunch of things that you guys would have had to climb.
So you're saying we went.
Don't you do it.
Over the river and through the woods.
Damn it. I knew it. I knew it.
To Grand Wolf's house we go.
Hey, this is Dre Silvertooth, and thank you for listening to episode 31 of Bad Heroes, part 6 of the Wild Hunt arc. This one is kind of a walking episode, a little exposition heavy, not a lot of fisticuffs, but hey, sometimes that happens. Sometimes it's about the journey you take, not the werewolves you battle. Yeah, that feels right. First thing I want to share is that we have decided to switch up our release schedule to be every 3 weeks instead of twice a month. This is largely because it's been wicked challenging to keep up with the twice monthly schedule, and honestly, Leanne and I don't want to burn out. There is still so much story left to tell, and we are beyond excited to tell it, but we need to make a little space to let our brains breathe. On the 3-week schedule, we will actually get to take a week off after each episode is released, a concept that I am very excited about. So thank you for understanding and for your continued support. This project has been incredible for all of us, and we're thrilled you're here. Now, please allow me to tell you about our Patreon. We've got it all, friends. Interviews with the cast. I just did a great interview with Coolness talking about Tonrir and some of the deep connections on the show. We've got monthly game nights where we invite all our patrons to come play silly games with us like Jackbox and Codenames and laugh. And most importantly, we've got a deep sense of appreciation for those of you who choose to share some of your hard-earned money with us, your resident bards. Our lowest tier is just $2 a month, and that still means the world to us. So, if you're having a great time, if you've come this far, maybe consider becoming a patron. That's patreon.com/badheroes. We also want to thank our sponsor, Roll20, for sharing our show with their community. You can make your own free account at roll20.net and play tabletop games with people around the world. I think that's it this week, nice and short. Music used in this episode is Labyrinth by Sergei Chermisinov, and our theme is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane. Next episode should be out on April 16th. See you then.
So, assuming that you guys follow Pax and the Guardians, you walk along this path, and it is dark and difficult to see as you walk through the woods at night. Leaves crunch under your feet, and the silhouettes of half-bare trees stand like skeletons around you. The moon, one night shy of full, glows down at you. Give me a quick nature check.
Uria got a 9.
10.
19.
31.
Dang. You are nature.
It's a nat 20, but yeah.
You invented this forest. Gideon, you notice that as you head into the deeper part of the forest, you notice these little glowing spots on the ground. And Tonrir, you know in your heart of hearts instantly that these are mushrooms. They glow a faint orange on the bottom. And you know that these mushrooms are called quicine mushrooms. And you know that they supposedly have a very calming effect on people who eat them.
I'm going to guess it's been a while since he's probably seen any of those, if he has at all.
I think you've seen them, like, pretty rarely. Like, I think you've seen one or two, but you've never seen them like this. They're everywhere. They're just, like, there are places where they're kind of, like, carpeting the earth and almost lighting up the path for you guys. You've never seen it like this.
Tonrir's eyes go a little bit wider as he looks at all of these, and he says, "Quicine? You have quicine here?"
Solas, who has that like bandolier of potions and stuff, says, "Yeah, it's kind of why we're here."
That makes sense. That really makes sense. You harvest this here and let it grow so that way you have something to help keep things in check.
Exactly. Not everybody partakes in it, of course. It's really potent. It's got side effects like everything else. Not everybody needs it. But for those of us who do need it, it's a godsend.
Well, if it's this abundant, and if it's allowed, I may take one or two for myself at a later point.
Yeah, help yourself.
Tonrir looks to the rest of the group. There's probably not as... He'll just re-explain. He says, "Quicine is something that calms the nerves, but it's never been this abundant. And it makes sense as to why they've chosen to reside here to defend this space. If you do decide to take one, be ready not to do anything for at least a couple of hours."
Yeah, he's right. It can induce sleep when we're too far gone. You actually saw me blast Iris with some powdered quicine, which is usually effective. But something was different about tonight. It had no effect.
Have you ever seen that before?
No. But the truth is, this doesn't happen ever. We have a system for when you feel out of control. The guardians, us, we are the guardians because we are the best at mastering the wolf. It's not because we're the strongest or the smartest. It's because we have the best control and we can be trusted in these stressful situations. No, I've never seen anything like this.
Her rage was unbridled.
I think Riva, while walking along the path, when she thinks no one's looking, she's going to bend down and pick one of those mushrooms.
Okay. If you want to do it sneakily, give me a stealth check.
14 plus 7, 21.
Oh, shit. Okay. I got like a 16. So you pluck that. Nobody notices.
She puts it in her pocket and keeps walking.
It glows faintly in your pocket, but you can't see it through the clothes.
Gideon looks at the quicine and kind of contemplates Tonrir's explanation of it, and then looks at Tonrir and Pax both and says, "If there's a substance like this that calms the nerves, is there any naturally occurring substance that can cause this sort of anger?"
Pax stops walking and turns around and looks at you and furrows their brow.
Not that I know. Solas, do you know about something like that?"
And Sola says, "Not that I'm aware of, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. That doesn't mean it can't be done. I know that there are some forms of alchemy through which you reverse the effect of something. Maybe through that, it's possible."
"When you are shifted but in control, how unbridled is the rage, or do you have it under control?"
"Me personally, now? It's pretty under control, but it hasn't always been that way. It's not that way when you're new, certainly."
"I saw into her mind just a bit while we were fighting. And what I saw, what I felt, it was completely... I don't know how to describe the level of rage and anger and fear that I felt, but it was nothing like I had ever felt in any other animal before.
Pax gives you kind of a sad smile and says,
yeah, that's what being a werewolf feels like when it's out of control. I think we've all felt that way at some point, and I hope none of you ever have to feel it. Though you came pretty close today, huh?
Yes, I did.
Well, come on. Let's get where we're going.
Trot, trot, trot.
Trot, trot, trot.
So, you want the short explanation of where I'm taking you, or you want the long one?
Any information that you're willing to provide us would be very... We'd be very thankful for it.
Well, short explanation. It's a werewolf sanctuary.
Who's, like, engaged in this conversation?
Tonrier is for certain, yeah.
Gideon was asking Pax and Tonrier about if there was any other thing, so I assume she's tuned in.
Yeah, Reva's walking along on the side, hands in her pockets, and just listening.
After Pax says that, Iria's like, wow, that was really short. Could we actually get the long one?
Pax turns to Gideon. Gideon, what color are your clothes?
Probably like a dark silver.
Okay. Pax looks at you and says,
all right, what is something that you love?
Books.
Books. Okay. And what food do you hate?
Books.
Well, she's not wrong.
I personally love a good book soup. Alphabet soup.
Pax gives you like a really crooked look, like.
No, I don't know. Radishes.
Radishes. Pax says, all right. So, imagine that you're cursed, just like me. There's no treatment and there's no cure. Maybe you were born with it and maybe you got bit. But whatever happened, one thing is for certain. It wasn't your fault. You're still you. You still love books. You still wear silver. You still wouldn't touch radishes if it was the last food on Earth. But now you also get sick. On a cycle completely outside of your control, you get angry. More than angry, you feel... And Pax kind of gestures to Tonrier. You feel like he described. You feel... You know the way you feel when you stub your toe, like, really, 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 really hard?
Reba chimes in and is like, oh my god, I hate that.
You feel that. That irrational, uncontrollable rage, but it's so much bigger than that. And the brighter the moon is in the sky, the more you feel this violent itch. You might lash out at others, you might lash out at yourself, and it makes life miserable, and it makes you dangerous. But if this happened, Gideon, you'd still be you. I'm cursed. For the rest of my life. But I still love thunderstorms, and I still wear blue. And you couldn't pay me to eat a piece of broccoli. Literally no amount of money. You guys could empty your pockets, and I still wouldn't eat a piece of broccoli. I can't be replaced. So, then it becomes my job to deal with it, this curse. Because I'm still a person, but I've got some shit to deal with that normal people don't. That's what the pack is all about. We are worthy of a good life, but we've got to work way harder than everyone else to earn it. So we need support, and we need each other.
And as they finish that, they pull aside a veil of living vines to reveal a little village nestled into the woods in the dark. And they say,
welcome to camp.